Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Well, we're in our series. Guess what it's called? Why? Or poor K, right? We're in our series, Why? Last week we had a great time for Easter. Hope everybody had a great Easter Sunday and ate lots of jelly beans and peeps and whatever else you, Reister bunnies. My nephew said it's not Easter unless we have a Reister bunny. And so he bought a, I think it was this tall, and it was solid, and it was all, anybody not know what a Reister bunny is? It's a Reese peanut butter cup shaped like a bunny. I mean, if you don't know God does miracles, just eat yourself a Reister bunny. And now that I think about it, I don't think I got one piece of that gigantic Reister bunny he had. That's just wrong in many ways, isn't it? And I guarantee it's gone. I guarantee that. But I hope you had a great time, whatever your Easter celebration is with your family. First and foremost, we celebrate our resurrected Savior and that Jesus loves us. He came for us, died for us, and rose again for us. Amen? And so I hope that you had a great celebration and just enjoyed remembering and acknowledging and walking in the resurrection power of Jesus, right? It's not, you know, we celebrate it one day a year, but it's something we live in every day of the year, the resurrection power of Jesus. The Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead, it did just disappear after it did that mighty work. Now it dwells in you as a believer. And I don't know about you, but I need that power. And whenever you think something is too much for God or too much or just too big, just remember that Jesus Christ walked out of the tomb when every evil force, demonic power, everything the enemy had tried to keep him in. And he showed that the enemy is defeated. There is nothing too big for God. If there was something too big for God, he'd still be in there. There is nothing too big for God. Anybody got some big things you're facing? I don't know about you. I got some big things I'm facing. Anybody got some big bills? Got some big decisions to make? Got some just big stuff? Say big stuff.
Big stuff.
Big stuff. We've got some big stuff going on. Well, thank God you got a big God. Amen? Yeah. And he's enough. He's enough. Glory. Well, today we're going to keep going in our series. And last week, why would God love somebody like me? Look at your neighbor and say, I hope you were listening. I hope you were listening. Amen? You needed it, right? Don't say that. Why would God love somebody like me? Because I'm sure all of us at some time or another have felt unlovable. We have felt that we don't deserve the love of God. And the truth of the matter is you don't deserve the love of God. You get it even though you don't deserve it. Isn't that great news? You get it anyway. And so you know, the enemy might just list all of your bad things you've done and everything that you think and he thinks might disqualify you from the love of God. But you just write on the bottom of it, well, he did it anyway. Amen? He did it anyway, because God loves everybody. And so we learned that last week, and I hope that you were blessed by it. And we got some really great feedback. And, you know, it's really awesome. We'll say hi to them. We have a lot of people who listen to our messages on podcasts from all over. Isn't that kind of cool? We get emails from all over, people saying they listen to our podcast. And so that's exciting. And you know what? God loves everybody. And if you just need to remind yourself of that, just go online, listen to the podcast, and be reminded that God loves you anyway. Amen? God loves me anyway. People may not like you much, but God loves you. Amen? People might be done with you, but God is never done with you. Amen? But today we're going to go into a tough thing. The title of this series is Honest Answers to Tough Questions. Honest answers to tough questions, and there's a lot of whys we have in the body of Christ, and there's nothing wrong with asking God questions. Sometimes people don't want to ask the question because you think that that's going to make God think less of you or make people think less of you or it means you're not in faith, but God is never afraid of your question. God is big enough to answer any question you have. Amen? And so we're doing honest answers to tough questions, and last week was why would God love somebody like me, and we answered that question. And today we're going to deal with maybe something that you've dealt with, I know that I have, and that is, why didn't God answer my prayer? Anybody ever been there? Why didn't God answer my prayer? And I don't want to stand up here and give you the impression that I have all the answers. I do not have all the answers. But hopefully today, just through scripture and some teaching, we can shine light on and maybe help all of us see that maybe we could change a thing or turn here or tweak a thing here or there, and maybe we can just understand a little bit better and walk in a greater truth in the things of God. How about that? But you know what? There's, and we'll get it at the end, there's always going to be times where you're just like, you know, I don't know. Right? And it takes courage to say, I don't know. You know, a lot of bad doctrine comes from people just not willing to say, I don't know. And so they've got to try to explain something they don't understand, and they change the word a little bit, and that's where bad doctrine comes from. Amen. Sometimes you just need to say, you know, I don't know, but I know who does. Amen? Amen? I know who does, and I believe he'll answer me. Amen? Amen? And so here we go. So why didn't God answer my prayers? And so number one reason, and you can follow along. I put some really good notes on the Bible app today, and because I really want to encourage everybody to use it, because you can take it with you, and you got some good notes there. And so number one reason why, maybe, somebody say maybe.
Maybe.
Because this is you. No, this is, hey, maybe, right? You know, maybe this is it. Maybe this is it. Let's just look at the word and get some light on some things, right? I don't want anybody to think like, oh, I'm telling you exactly why. No, we're just going to say some things. Maybe this is why. And then the Holy Ghost is going to speak to each one of us, and he's going to show us like, hey, you know, that's you, right? Or whatever, right? So anyway, maybe, look at your name and say maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe you have a wrong motive. Don't look at anybody. That does happen. And so turn over to your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 4. And I'm going to be Bible thumping today because for some reason I did not write out all my scriptures. I don't know what is wrong with me today. James, my house is under construction right now. And pray for me. We're redoing our kitchen in a small project. How many know small projects grow?
Yes.
They just grow. And then, you know, so yesterday my goal was to see the top of my dining room table. I just wanted to see the top of it, you know? And so I accomplished that. I did. I actually even saw a countertop.
Yeah.
Woo, glory. I could dance, but I worked so hard yesterday I'm too tired to, you know? But inside, I am rejoicing. So anyway, here we go. James chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to be reading out of the first one I'm going to read is out of the New Living Translation. And so maybe we have wrong motives. And so this says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Hello? What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it the whole army of evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous for what others have, and you can't possess it, so you fight and quarrel to take it away from them. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. Here we go. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole motive is, say it with me, wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Hello. Aren't you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
Amen. And let me read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. I'll read it a little bit louder. It says, what leads to strife, discord, and feuds? Anybody ever had strife, discord, or a feud?
Yes.
Right? And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? This is where they all come from. It says, do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? One translation says, it's because you're selfish. It's because you're selfish. And let's keep reading. You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderous. To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to attain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it in sensual pleasures. And so one reason, somebody say maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe you're not getting what you're looking for because your motive is wrong. Your motive is wrong. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't ask God for things, because we know you've heard enough teaching that you can. But when you get selfish in there, and it's all for you, and it's all about you and nobody else, your motives are getting maybe getting a little goofed up. And the Bible says you're not going to get what you ask for because your motives are wrong. And you say, well, how do I know if my motives are wrong? Well, ask the Holy Ghost and he'll tell you. Amen? Ask the Holy Ghost, he'll tell you. And so let's look at verse number two. Maybe, number two reason why maybe our prayers aren't getting answered is maybe we don't believe God will. We don't believe God will do it. And this is where I think a lot of, especially Word of Faith people fall into, is that you think God's going to do it for everybody else, but not for you. For some reason, God's not going to do it for you, and that's why you need to listen to Why Would God Love Somebody Like Me? Because it's going to help you understand that it's really not all about you. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to deserve it. You're not going to work for it. You're going to receive it from God. Amen? And so, but sometimes we think, well, I don't think God will. And so turn over to Mark 22. We're going to look here. Mark 22. I should use the Bible app. But it's good for you. It's good for you to get your real deal out sometimes. Amen? Not that the other is not, but you know what I mean. Mark 9, and we're going to look at verse 22 and 23. And it says this. This is talking about the boy who, let's see. Let's start in verse number 20. It says, so they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, withering and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus said, how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was very small, the evil spirit often often makes him fall into the fire, into the water, trying to kill him. And this is what I want us to hear. He says, have mercy on us and help us. Do something. And the father said, if you can, if you can. And I love Jesus' response in the New Living Translation in verse number 23. It says, what do you mean, if I can? What do you mean, if I can? What is Jesus saying? He's like, it's like Jesus looking at the Father and saying this. Ready? Seriously? Seriously. What do you mean, if I can? And then Jesus said, anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible if a person believes. And so maybe one of the reasons that God didn't answer your prayer is because you didn't believe he would. Because faith is acting on what you believe God will do. And then turn over to Matthew 8. This is not in the notes, but this is just a good one. Matthew 8, we're going to look at verse number... Hold on, I'll tell you. Oh, let's look here in verse number 7. This is Jesus talking, and he says this. They're talking about somebody needing healing, and Jesus said, I will come. And what's he going to do? And heal him. I will come and heal him. How many know that God is a healer?
Yes.
He is a healer. We know the story about the man with leprosy, and he says, Lord, if you are willing, heal me. And what did Jesus say? He said, I am willing. I am willing. Jesus is a healer. He is a healer for all that will believe him. You know, we know that even though the power of God was present to heal when Jesus was laying hands on people in his own neighborhood, in his own village, but the Bible said no one got healed. It wasn't because the power to heal wasn't there. It wasn't because God wasn't willing to heal. It's because nobody believed that he would. Jesus said, I couldn't do any mighty works here because of why? Their unbelief. And so maybe one of the reasons why prayer isn't being answered is because you don't believe God's going to do it. You don't believe that he will. And we have to have faith. Amen? You got to believe God's going to do it. All right, let's keep going here. And you know what, let me just tell you this. If you're sitting here today and you're like, something's like maybe poking at your spirit and it's saying, you know, maybe you need to hear a little bit more on that. You need to hear a little bit more on that. So if one of these is like, you know, just... for lack of a better word, just churning in your spirit. You know what? You need to get your word out and you need to read a little bit more on it. This message here today is not going to answer every question you have, but it's going to get you started. Amen. It's going to get you started. Instead of living a life of frustration and disappointment with God, hopefully it will get you started to getting some answers to the things that you are seeking from God. Amen. It's going to get you started in the right direction. It's going to get you moving. And so one of the reasons, number one, maybe we have a wrong motive. Number two, maybe we don't believe God will. We don't believe he will do it. And then Mark 9:23 again, he says, everything is possible for him who, what's the next word? Believes. You got to believe that God will do it. In Hebrews, the Bible says, for he who comes to me must believe that I am, and I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. If you're going to go to God, you must believe that he is the great I am. Amen? You got to believe that. And you must believe that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. You got to believe that when you go, you are going to the throne of grace. Thank God it's a throne of grace. Amen. Amen. Thank God it's not a throne of works. Thank God it's not a throne of progress report. Thank God it's not a throne of how you doing. No, it's a throne of grace. Amen. I get to go there not based on what I've done. I get to go to the throne of grace based on what Jesus has done. Amen. Amen. But when I get there, I got to believe the Bible says that he is. He is who? He is the great I am. He is the healer. He is the rewarder. He is the provider. He is the forgiver. He is the restorer. Oh, the list goes on. He is who you need. And not just that he is, but he is willing to give you what you need. Amen? He's willing to do it. Not based on you, but based on him. Right? And so maybe it's because we got wrong motive. Maybe it's because we don't believe God. And number three, maybe, somebody say maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe we have a broken relationship. Put the brakes on. Turn over to Mark 11. How many know this one? Everybody's like, woo, Mark 11. How many of you have ever had this on your refrigerator? Mark 11:23-24. How many of you, you just got this memorized. I bet if we went around here, most everybody would have this memorized. You know this. I can't even find Mark this morning. Here it is. I got it. I need some prayer. Mark 11:23. I like to start in 22. It says, and Jesus said to his disciples, how many disciples we got in here? Amen. And he says, have faith in God. I assure you that you can say to this mountain, may God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart. And then he says, listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. Now, everybody loves that part. We all love that part, right? That's great. Woo, glory. I especially like it out of the New Living. Don't tell Brother Hagin that. But I really like it out of the New Living Translation. He always said it out of the King James. But, there's a but. Verse number 25 is a but. And this but gets in the way of stuff. Because here's what it says. It says, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. And so we love 23 and 24. We love those. We have magnets made of those. You got that on your Bible cover. I mean, some of us, our Bible just goes, opens right there, right? We love this, but 25 is there for a reason because they go together. Your prayers may not be working because your forgiveness isn't working. Amen. And so broken relationships can hinder our ability to receive and to hear from God. God loves his kids to get along. All through the Word, we hear that we're to encourage one. Remember in our Belong series, we did a whole list of one another's, of how we're to treat one another, what we're to do for one another. God is into the one another business. He wants his kids to get along. How many come from you have brothers and sisters? Anybody have brothers and sisters? I am the youngest of seven children. The youngest. And I always say, my parents finally got it what?
Right.
They got it right. But when we used to go in the car a lot, my brother Mike and I really are the ones that were together most. And we would be in the car, and how many know when you're in the car and you're on a long trip, there's a line in the seats. You don't cross that line. You don't cross that line. And I don't know how many times my brother would be on my side irritating me, you know, and I'd be like, he's on my side, you know, because where the armrest was, that you couldn't come across there. It was just like, and so then bickering and fighting would come, and what would happen? What would my mother say? You want me to pull this car over? You want me to pull this car over? No, no. Actually, my mom didn't need to pull the car over. Just the, you know, that was enough. And if my dad was in the car, we wouldn't even think about going over the line. You know, it's just, but the thing is that all parents, you want your kids to get along, right?
Amen.
How much more so does our Heavenly Father want all his kids to get along,
yes,
right? He wants his kids to get along, and so he puts verse number 25 in there, and he says, listen, you can move mountains. You can have prayer answered. You can have what you believe God for, but you got to get along. You got to get along. You got to forgive one another. You can't hold grudges. You can't have a hard heart. You can't have these broken, fragmented relationships. You got to deal with stuff. And again, if you deal with that, I encourage you to listen to Wednesday night's message. We talked a lot about forgiveness. Listen, forgiveness doesn't mean that you got to become BFFs again.
Right.
Somebody say, thank God. Right? Thank God. It doesn't mean you got to restore relationship. It means you got to have peace in your heart towards that person.
Amen.
Because some relationships, it's not healthy for you to restore. Is that not correct? Some relationships need to be ended. They need to be ended. Now, we're not talking about marriage. That's another lesson, another talk, you know. We're talking about those grudges and just unhealthy, toxic people. You don't have to allow them back in your life, but you do need to forgive them and not have grudges against them.
Amen?
Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so maybe one of the reasons that prayer is not doing, your prayer life's not going where you want it to go, why God didn't answer your prayer, is because you have some broken relationships. And then here's a bonus scripture for you. Ooh, look at that. Turn right to it. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Now, all you wives, you're going to thank me for this. Husbands, you're probably going to give me the evil eye. I'm not sure. It says, in the same way, you husbands, say you husbands. I like to say husband. That's what I like to say. You husband must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, you ready? Your prayers will not be heard. Woo! Glory, all the husbands. What? What? Where is that at? No, it's in there. You can't come to church and be all spiritual and have your Bible app going and then get in your car and, you know, like, oh, you can't do anything. You're so stupid. You know, and cursing at your wife and then think your prayers are going to be answered. It does. You know what? What's my favorite commercial? That's not how any of this works, right? That's not how this works. You can't do that. The Bible says, husbands, if you do that, your prayers aren't even going to be heard. God cares about how you treat your wife. Amen? God cares about that. Because you are an example in your home of Christ. You're the head of the home. And God cares about it. Now, wives, we don't get off scot-clean. I think this applies for us. You can't be telling your husband, oh, you're good for nothing. You can't do anything right. Never amount to anything. And then be like, oh, help me, Jesus. It doesn't work like that. You know? It does not work like that. And so how we are treating people affects our prayer life.
Amen.
Amen? And it just comes right out and says it. With the husband says, your prayers aren't even going to be heard if you're not treating your wife right. Some of the wives are like, where's my highlighter? I'm going to highlight that. All right, here we go. Number four. I'm determined. I got 8 points. I think we'll make it. We're halfway done. Now, number one, maybe we got wrong motives. Number two, maybe we don't believe God will. Number three, maybe we got some broken relationships. We got some unforgiveness churning, some grudges going on in our hearts. And number four, I was going to say maybe we're lazy, but then I thought, oh, I'll be nice. Maybe we're just not doing our part. Maybe we're not doing our part. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. But, you know, I love my devotional by Rick Renner. I love that. It's such a great devotional. I encourage everybody to read it, Sparkling Gems. And he has one in there about being a sluggard. Anybody read that one? Woo, that would just jerk the slack right out of you. You know, there is a part that we play in the kingdom of God. There is a part that I play. And so when we look here, turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 11 and 12. And it says this. Our great desire is that you will keep right on loving others. Here that goes again. Gee whiz. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for, sounds like a prayer to me, that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and patience. And so, Paul, you know, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And he says, my great desire is that you will keep right on loving others. And then he says, and that you will not become spiritually dull. When we're spiritually dull and indifferent to the things of God, when the things of God just really don't matter to me anymore, and it's not important to me, and there's no place for it, and I'm just dull spiritually. And, you know, I've been there, and if you're honest, you've probably been there too. We've all probably been there. But the thing is, we can't stay there, and we can't expect all the blessings and all the will and all the way of God to just be flowing and going in our life when we're sitting on the couch, binge-watching everything on Netflix. Woo, hello. That's not how this works. We can't do that. We've got to stay spiritually sharp. Because when you stay spiritually sharp, your motives are going to be right. And when they're not right, you're going to be spiritually sharp. You're going to hear the Holy Ghost say, what are you doing? What's going on here? You're going to know. And when you're spiritually sharp, man, your faith is engaged. And you know that God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know. And when your faith is engaged and you are spiritually sharp, man, unforgiveness cannot last in you. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost won't let it. You're so sharp to the voice of the Holy Ghost, you know. Every time you see that person's face that comes before you, the Lord's saying, do what's right, do what's right, do what's right. And you're like, I'm not doing anything. But he just keeps coming and saying it. And here's how you get spiritually dull. When he keeps telling you to do something and you keep ignoring it, you are dulling yourself. Because whether you realize it or not, you're moving further and further away from the truth and the way of God. Because you don't want to hear it. What happens when someone has a truth for you? Has a truth for you, but you don't want to hear it. Anybody ever been there? We've all been there. You might be there this morning. Maybe you're there this morning, but you don't want to hear it. So what do? You tune out. You avoid that person. Or you just flat tell them, I don't want to hear it. And maybe you don't say it with your mouth, but your actions, your attitude, and your location say it. Because you don't want to hear that truth. And that's why when it comes to the things of God, we can't get lazy. We can't get indifferent to where we don't want to hear it. Because when we say, I don't want to hear it, with our attitude, our actions, and our location, when we say that, we're moving ourselves. God hasn't moved. We've moved. And you know, whether you realize it or not, you are moving away from truth. And truth is what sets you free.
Amen.
So you may not want to hear it, but it's what's going to set you free. And the further you move away from truth, the more in bondage you come to the lies the enemy has for you. That's just good preaching right there.
Man.
Peggy, that is great preaching. Good job. Good job. You know, but that's the truth. And so we've got to be spiritually sharp and say, you know what, Lord, no matter how tough it's going to be, I want to hear the truth.
Amen.
Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Holy Spirit, tell me the truth. But then once you hear the truth, then the choice is yours. You know, the Lord had been telling me the truth, you know, because that's all God tells you is the truth. I had been praying about a situation, a decision I needed to make. And I had been praying about it, seeking God, not for weeks, not for months, years. Years. I'm not even kidding with you. Years. I'm just going to tell myself a little bit. Years. And just this, the same situation is just so, you know, blah. You know, anybody have one of those? And you just pray, and I would pray, and I would be like, Lord, just show me what to do. Help me, Lord. Give me wisdom. For years I'm doing this. And then finally the Holy Ghost said something that he's probably been saying for years, but I haven't been listening because I didn't want to hear it. You know what he said to me? I was driving down Federal Highway, and I was on my way to McDonald's. I was passing Cornell Street, and I was thinking, oh, there's Bobby Thomas' new house, and I'm driving, and I'm like, Lord, I just really need direction on this. I am so spiritual. I'm like, I need direction, Lord. Show me what to do. You know what the Holy Ghost said to me? Just boom, like that. He said, you already know what to do. You just don't want to do it. You already know what to do. You just don't want to do it. You're hoping for a different answer, and a different answer is not coming. I'll have a large, unsweet iced tea with extra ice. Because I was on my way to McDonald's. I was like, I need two today, you know? But, you know, I would love to say that I went back to my office and was like, all right, that's it. Make that decision, but I didn't. This is a tough decision. Man, we got big stuff going on in our lives, don't we?
Yes, come on.
And man, big stuff. And you know, I'm thankful to tell you that I have finally wised up and made the decision. I can stand before Jesus and say, I finally listened. And you know what? The blessing of God is there, the provision of God is there. Everything that every fear that I had, none of it happened.
Hallelujah.
None of it happened.
Thank you, Lord.
Was it hard? Was it tough? Sure, of course it was. But nothing I thought was going to happen. You know why? Because God loves you, and he will lead you on the best pathway for your life.
That's right.
Even if it's a tough thing, God's going to get you through it.
Amen.
Amen? But you know what? Here's the thing. Your prayer might not be being answered because you already heard the answer a couple of years ago, and you're just too chicken like I was to do it. And you know, if you're waiting for a different answer, God does not change.
That's right.
He even said in his word, I am the Lord. I do not change. Some of y'all are waiting for God to change his mind on a few things that are in his word. He is the Lord, and he said himself, I do not change. And so, you know, we can't get spiritually dull. We got to do our part and stay spiritually sharp to the things of God. Amen? Let's not be lazy. Let's not be sluggards. A sluggard knows what to do. Just doesn't do it. Doesn't do it. You want to do it. You want the result of doing it, but you don't want to do it. You don't do it. But we want the result, right? We got to do our part. And then here we go. Number five. Ooh, praise the Lord. Number five. Maybe this is why your prayer didn't get answered, is because maybe a person's free will is involved. Person's free will is involved. And you know, when you start praying that God will change somebody's will, you know what they call that? You know what they call that? There's a word for it. Anybody know? Witchcraft, what the Bible says, manipulation is the same as witchcraft. Isn't that crazy? But that's true, the Bible says it. Tells us that. He says witchcraft is the same as manipulation. And so when you start trying to manipulate and you start messing and trying to get God to mess with people's will, look out. That's not good. That's not good. You can't, you know, I remember in Bible school, they would tell us all these crazy stories. You know, just so many crazy stories about just crazy people. But crazy stories about people. And I remember in this particular, when they taught on this particular thing, there would be people in, you know, like, I call it hyper faith, where it's foolishness and presumption. There's no word in it. You ever met anybody like that? And, you know, people would just walk up to other people's cars, and they would lay hands on them and say, Lord, I just pray that you tell this person to give me their car. That prayer is not going to get answered because that's not how you do it. Or they even had even crazier where people were praying for other people's spouses. Hello. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, it's craziness. But you know what? When you start like getting over it, but you know, you think everybody's here like, who would do that? People would. You know, so whenever, sometimes we're like, we want God to move, but if that person's will is involved, God cannot and will not violate a person's will. And so you can pray, and you know, and we pray for people's salvation. We do, and we pray that God will send laborers across their path to speak truth to them, and he would help them to see. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. And it's not that God didn't do his part. That person has to make a choice. It's their decision if they want to come to the Lord. It's their decision if they want to do whatever the situation is. God cannot violate people's will. And so when we're praying, you know, people that are in situations that are unhealthy, how many have ever had a friend who's in a situation that's just unhealthy, yeah. It's deadly, it's toxic, and it could literally ruin their life.
Yes.
And we pray, Lord, help them, show them, all that. We pray, but they don't. It's not that God didn't answer the prayer. God moves when we pray. He moves and he brings laborers and he brings things to that person's life. He does all that he can, but it is their choice.
Amen.
It's their choice. God can't just pick somebody up out of a bad situation that doesn't want to leave. He can't do that. And so maybe the reason why your prayer's not being answered is because it involves somebody else's will. And turn over to Genesis. I love Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. You know, I believe that we can find the root of all problems is right here in Genesis. Because nothing has changed much. But Genesis chapter 2, verse number 16, it says, "But the Lord God gave him this warning, 'You may freely eat any fruit in the garden, except fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of its fruit, you will surely die.'" What do we know happened? What's the rest of that story? He ate the fruit. Why? Because God gave him a choice. Just like God gives every person a choice. If people didn't have a choice, we would all serve God. But you know what? You can't make somebody love you. And that's why God gave us a choice.
Amen.
We choose to love God. Amen? And so maybe the reason why your prayer didn't get answered is because a person's free will is involved. And then number 6, I love this one. Maybe, somebody say maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe God has something better for you. Amen. Maybe God's got something better, right? Turn over to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 1 John, the one in the back. Here we go. 1 John 5, we're going to read verses 14 and 15. And he says, "And if we know that he is listening when we make our requests, we can be sure that he will give us what we ask." Somebody say amen,
amen.
Right? But first, number 14, it says, "And we can be confident that he will listen to us whenever we ask him, and anything in line with his will." With his will. And we know that God listens, but how many know the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20 that he is able to give us exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or think? Ask or think. You know, I remember a time, I'll give you an example. There was a person, and they asked me to pray in agreement with something. I was like, okay, yeah, what is it, you know? And before you just jump in on agreement with something, you need to know what the situation is. And I was like, you know, let's just pray that, it's one of those, sometimes you don't know God's will, right? It's like, Lord, is this what you want from me? You got to be led by the Spirit of God. You got to be led by the Spirit. And so I was, I don't know, I just had a little bit of a check about it. And I just really believed that God had something better for them. And not to give away any information about the people, but it was about an opportunity for their career. And man, they were sold on this. It was this job, this time, this was it. This is what God had for them. And I was like, you know, I just believe that there's something better. I just had it in my spirit. I said, you know, you pray about it. You do whatever you want to do. But, you know, you ask what I thought. That's what I think. Don't ask me what I think if you don't want to know, right? Because what I think may not be what you think. And so, you know, they weren't real happy about that. And they were like, no, we're believing God for this. This is a job, blah, blah, blah. Well, they didn't get the job. And so, you know, they were totally just destroyed. Their faith was rocked. Why didn't God do this? Why didn't God do this? And I was like, I'm telling you, I believe God's got something better for you. Well, you know what? It wasn't a year, it was 2 years later, that God opened a door for them that was so big and so incredible that it was beyond what they could have even asked or thought. It was better. It was so God. It was just so amazing. And you know, sometimes God has something better. That's when you got to say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. Maybe this situation didn't work out the way I thought it was going to, but I trust you. I trust that you take care of me. I trust that you lead me on the best pathway for my life. I trust that you have the best for me. I trust that there are things that I cannot see that you can. I trust you. And so sometimes, you know, that job, that door, that apartment, that house, whatever, you know, I know for our house that we bought, and it was years ago, as the Lord just reminded me of this, it was years ago that we bought this house, and it was being built, and it was exactly what Scott and I wanted. I mean, this was our house, and I went and looked at it, and only the slab was poured on it. That's all that was there. But I remember I put my foot on it, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, this can be yours if you want it. And I was like, oh, I want it. I want it. But then they wouldn't come down on the price to what Scott, my husband, what he believed we could buy it for. They wouldn't come down to it. And so Scott said, I'm like, babe, it's our house. God spoke to us that this is our house. Just pay the money, right? I'm like, just pay the money. So he says, no, we're not paying the money. We're going to get the house for the price I believe God said we could get the house for. And I was like, but I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. And that's when he pulled the, oh, I'm the head of the house. I heard it. Oh, whatever, right? But, you know, so I was like, all right. I am submitted. I'm going to believe God. And so then, because we lived in an apartment down the street, I got to watch people go look at my house with realtors and love it. And I was like, babe, there are people looking at our house. And he's like, we're not paying more than what God said for us to pay for the house. And so I was like, all right, I had to get in line, you know. It's tough to get in line sometimes. I had to get in line. I was like, all right, man, I got to get in line because I don't want anything to hinder my house. And you know, like, it was like three of the longest weeks of our life. 3 weeks later, the realtor called and said, you know, this and this happened, and we're going to lower the price. And so I just wanted to let you know. Come on. And Scott looked at me, you know what he said? I told you. I told you.
Hallelujah.
And I was like, you did, baby. Let's sign the papers, right? We got that house for less than that they asked for. It was just supernatural the way it worked out. It was supernatural. Supernatural, but man, it took patience, and it took getting in line, and it took trusting that my husband hears from God. Amen. Wives, you got to trust that your husband hears from God. Amen. Yes. Even when you don't think he does, you got to trust that he does.
Yes.
Because he's anointed. I don't know why we're going here, but he's anointed, and he has grace for that role in your home. Amen. God's going to do that for him. And so, you know, sometimes when we think about it, God's got something better. God's got something better. And you know what? Number seven, this is so us all the time. Maybe it's because you're impatient. Turn to James chapter 5. We're going to look real quick here. Verses 7 and 8. And he says this, verse 7 and 8. He says, 7. Dear brothers and sisters, you must be patient. Is anybody in here have this highlighted in your Bible? Anybody? Probably not, right? No, we don't have this highlighted. You must be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who eagerly look for the rains in the fall and in the springs. They patiently wait for the precious harvest to ripen. You too must be precious. You too must be patient and take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Ooh, we got to be patient. We got to be patient. Somebody say, woo, patience.
Patience.
You don't hear that very often, do you? Only under duress. Patience, you got to be patient. So maybe your prayer is being answered. You just can't see it yet. Amen. You got to trust God. And then lastly, we're going to close right here. Here's one. Maybe we'll never know. Maybe we'll never know. Yet we must remain faithful. You'll never know. There are some times when we look at a situation and you're like, I did everything. I believed. I prayed. I confessed. We can't figure out why didn't this happen. I don't know about you, but I have a couple. I only have a couple, not a lot. A couple of those situations where it's just like, why? And that you don't have the answer. And maybe you'll never know. Maybe you got to wait till you get to heaven and say, Lord, what was up with that? What was up with that? But you know, we've got to remain faithful and we've got to remain trusting God that there's got to be more to the story that we just don't know. Because whenever you prayers don't get answered, especially when there's loss of a loved one, when there's loss of people, many times we're like, why? You know? And one of the whys that we're going to answer is why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen? And so there's a lot of whys when sickness comes or death comes. We're like, man, why? And you know, and sometimes you may never know. I know for me, I mean, I've been with people in the last days and moments of their life more times than I care to count. And I can't tell you how many times somebody has just looked at me and said, you know, I'm tired. I'm tired. And you know, and once somebody gets a glimpse of heaven, there's a slim chance they're going to come back because it's just that great. And so whenever there's those why questions, we got to remember what Daniel said in chapter 3, 17 and 18. It says, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us. Talking about when they were getting thrown into the fiery furnace. He says, but even if he does not, we will not serve your gods. We will serve our God. Amen. And sometimes there are questions that we have. Why did this happen? Why didn't this work out the way that I thought it was supposed to? Why? And in those whys, you know, I know for me personally, you know, I had a situation where it's just like, Lord, I don't get this. I don't know why this happened. Why? And it really began to become bigger in my life than it should. And I remember the Holy Ghost just on the inside, not an audible voice, but just that knowing on the inside, the Lord said, you need to put that on the shelf. You need to put that on the shelf. And so I just, you know, like in my mind, I just like bundled it all together. In my mind, I put it in a mason jar and put this top on it and just put it up on a shelf. You know what a mason jar is, right? And just put it up on a shelf. I was like, Lord, when I'm ready for the answer, I'll receive it. And if I never do, I still trust you.
Amen.
Amen. I still trust you. Because we cannot go to the Word based on other people's experiences. We have to go to the Word based on who God is.
Amen?
Because there's always more to the story. Always. And so if you have a why in here, I just encourage you, go to God. You may not get a direct answer, but go to him, ask him. He may tell you to put it on the shelf, or he may give you some insight that maybe you didn't have before. But regardless, you must purpose in your heart that no matter what, I believe the Word. I believe the Word. Amen? God is true and good, and he loves us. And so I hope this helps you a little bit with why didn't God answer my prayer. There's some good maybes in there, and maybe one of them hit home with you, and maybe you think, like, I need to research that a little more, study, get God's Word on it a little bit more. And if you do, or maybe you got some questions, you want to say, hey, can somebody help me through this maybe in my life? Well, that's what we're for. We're here for. Come down front and let us help you. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that you are true and faithful and that you never change. And so, Lord, when it comes to questions that we have and wondering why prayers didn't get answered, I just thank you, Lord, that today's message, these 8 points, that maybe they'll just shed some light and help push us in the right direction to move us out of frustration and question and push us into getting answers and direction from you. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Oh, and God good. He's so good. All right, let's receive our offering here today, our supernatural tithes and offerings.